You can go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. If I had a title for this, I guess it would be How to Handle Trials. And the key verse there for that chapter in my book would be the chapter, verse 12, where it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." This chapter, this study that I have here is something. Well, you all know that I was I was with New Tribes. I didn't go over the foreign field. They asked me to stay and teach and administrate in a missionary training center. We had five of them back in those days, plus one over in England. And so that's what they asked me to do, and I felt honored to do anything they would ask me to do. I was glad to do that. Carol and I had our hearts set on going to over to Papua New Guinea. It didn't work out that way, but nonetheless, we knew the best place for us to be, as with any one of us in this room right now, is to be in the perfect will of God for our lives. And we found that's exactly where that was. It was staying there in that place. The interesting thing about that time, and then thinking about this and how to handle trials, during that time, which was basically 17 years that I was with them, and I spent all that time teaching and administrating. They moved me around several times and all that. But during that time, the mission and missions in general was going through a very challenging time, a time of trials, a time that you could almost say they were fiery trials. New Tribes Mission had a work going on for a number of years down in Colombia. And down in Colombia, almost the whole time I was there, we had missionaries being martyred. We had missionaries suffering for the cause of Christ. We had guerrillas. We had drug cartel raising havoc all over the field. We had men that were being held by these crazy people for years. It was a very, very trying time. So the training center, what our job was to do was to prepare them for the realities of serving on the field. And this chapter was one of the things that I use and a lot of us use to help prepare them for the reality, for what goes on and what was going on and all the stories they hear, because these missionaries were not it wasn't something that was just being told within the mission itself. The whole world was aware of it. I mean, it was something that was being told. Everybody knew about all the problems that were going on down in Colombia at that time. And so it was no secret. One of the jobs that I had at the Institute there as a chairman, I would have to deal with the parents of the folks who were coming in to surrender to be in full-time Christian service, going to who knows where and being exposed to who knows what. A lot of the students that we had come in there were students that had children. They weren't just simply somebody fresh out of Bible school like myself and Todd. We went there. I went to the training center. I had four children. Todd went there. I believe he had three at that time. I can't remember. Todd might know. But nonetheless, that was going on there. And so the parents would come in there and reminding me about the precious position they were entrusting to us, all right, to prepare them for what, like once the person said, God only knows what. Well, God, yeah, God is the only one that knows. He's always been the only one that knows, and we just simply have to trust in him. But nonetheless, that was a big part of what was going on. And so in our teaching and sharing and all that, we were working on the goal to prepare them for what was lying ahead. It was a privilege in my own mind to be able to work with folks like that. I had students from all over the world, okay? And these students, some were married, some sold their house, gave up their jobs, and all these different things they did to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in mission service. So they were like that. But what I found in that, and everybody that came in there had some kind of a college or Bible school background. So they were special people. They really were. And I really felt it was a privilege to teach them and guide them and instruct them. Some of them, they probably could have done a better job teaching me. All right. Now, I'd been around. I had been in ministry. I had, as you all know, I was worked in the South Chicago area, the ghettos of South Chicago for 2 years. Saw all kinds of stuff. I had my life threatened and all that. So I was somewhat tuned in to maybe where they were going and all that goes along with that. But nonetheless, it was a privilege. It was an honor to do that. And I really miss that ministry very much. The thing that changed it, and I don't think Todd would mind me saying that, was the fact that the mission got to the point where they weren't too sure about the Bible they wanted to use. And as many of these organizations have done over the years, sadly, colleges and all these different places, all right, they decided that they were no longer going to just honor the King James Bible. They were willing to bring in these other things, and they were blaming it on the fact we had students coming in from Europe and all that baloney. But nonetheless, when that happened, all right, I had to resign. I couldn't stay there and be around that. The interesting thing about that, you know, we say, well, what's the big deal about translations? Well, I'll tell you what, when that changed, all of a sudden, the character of our program changed. The thing that the very day that we decided that, well, they decided, not me, to change the Bible and all that, I'm not kidding you, the very day, I had a student come to class, all right, because there's a new wave. We got some new things going on here. Came to my class dressed in pajamas with a bowl of cereal. Well, you know me, I'm just an old-fashioned fundamentalist. And I tell you what, I didn't say anything to the student while they were there, and I kind of like, well, we'll just, okay. But I tell you what, as soon as my class was over, I went straight to that person's room, all right, and told them, this didn't happen. We're not going to do that, okay? We're going to keep the hold the line here until they change it, all right? And they, of course, they were heading in that direction there. But it's interesting, the institute that we had there, the men that I worked with, I had a good staff there and all, we decided we were going to hold the fort until the word came down from everywhere, because everybody was jumping the gun and all that. But do you know, our institute, until the point when I left there and several others left there who were working with me as staff members there, we had they would analyze, our students would leave the institute, and then they would go to language school, language and linguistics school. So at language and linguistics school, they would evaluate the teachers at the institutes where I was. Right, what do you think of the preachers there? Were they good guys and all that stuff? Well, one of the things they found out in doing that was because we held the standard and everybody knew exactly how we were doing things the way we've always done it, all right, and we evaluated them. We decided whether they'd go to field or not, okay? They found out at the language school, you know what? They really liked being in your institute because they knew exactly what the score was. They didn't have to wonder what was going to change today. Which way was the wind blowing today? Same way it always has, and it will be that way until me and Andy Seibert and another felt when we leave. Now, after we leave here, I don't know. But nonetheless, it was an interesting time. And so, you know, you wonder, Pastor, why does the pastor get so wound up about Bible translations? Well, I can tell you exactly why. Because I saw it. The progressive movement came in the back door big time. I'm telling you what, and these students were coming from a Bible school where they were, matter of fact, the biggest thing that I saw happening there was this thing of hyper-Calvinism. It just brings all this stuff in there. But nonetheless, we're looking here at something we would share with our students, knowing that they're going to a field. Well, only the Lord knows what's going to happen there. There could be all kinds of trials and tribulations. And so we would look here every semester at 1 Peter chapter 4. We would see here, first of all, the key verse, which I'll repeat again. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Fiery trials are trials that are painful, something that's come into our life that kind of has turned our world upside down. One guy referred to these fiery trials as blindsiders. I'm going for the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. I'm honoring him. And out of nowhere, this happened. Out of nowhere, my child comes down with cancer. Out of nowhere, these things are happening to me. And I just can't understand. God, here I am, and I'm serving you, and I've done all these things. And now all of a sudden, this strange thing, okay, has happened to me. And in some ways, like one guy, I talk to students all the time, I've been blown away. I don't know if we know what that means anymore, but it's kind of like being knocked off your pins, okay? And I'm like, I have to stop. I have to think, what is going on? What we're going to see here as we look at this, what is going on and how do you handle these blindsiders? How do you handle these fiery trials that come our way? You think about, you know, the Church of the Open Door right now. We're going through a sort of a trial. You know, we got Brother Todd. You know, he's having some ups and downs right now. We got Pastor Ray. We got Pastor Josh, you know, and then you got me, which I never know what's going on from one day to the next. doctor told me, he said, what are you doing this week? And I said, well, I'm going to be preaching. He said, really? He said, how long do you think that's going to take? Well, I said, it could be a couple hours of doing that. Sunday school and preaching time. All right, just make that clear, okay? He said, well, 2 hours. He said, well, are they prepared if you happen to decide to stop a little early? I said, man, I'll make them happy as a pig in mud if I did something like that. So, but he told me, he said, Brother Rick, and he said this to Ray, and he's saying this to Josh, listen to your body. And I'm working on that. I'm also listening to my wife, which I hear a whole lot better. And that's for sure. But nonetheless, we look at this chapter here, and what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to break this chapter down into, I have written here, 3 wonderful results that can come to the Christian or the church when he goes through suffering in the will of God. In the will of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, so much for your love and kindness. We thank you that you prepare us. There's not a thing that goes on in life that you haven't got something in the Bible that can help us work through it, Lord, to be prepared for it. And Father, we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the living word of God, Lord, and what it means to this church and the people in this church, Father. We just pray you'll bless this time together, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at this chapter first of all, take the whole chapter and break it down to 3 parts. Number 1, we see, first of all, looking at verses 1 through 6, suffering purifies the saints. We can see that looking at verse 1 where it says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, and we all know about that. He suffered before he got to the cross, and then he got to the cross and suffered even greatly there. But it says here, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. I realize this is going to happen to you. You don't know what lies ahead, but if you stand up for Jesus Christ, and if you're a witness for Christ, you're going to suffer trials and persecution. It's just part of it. The world is not your friend. Plus, you realize, and we all know that clearly, the devil does not like anything to do with the gospel. He's always working hard. I know of many person that's been to the field and telling us what the drama was like there. Because in some of these tribes, when you get to a tribe, that tribe, man, it's Satan's hot spot. He runs the thing. He's got people there that he completely controls and all that goes along with that. So that's all part of the battle, all right? But again, he says here, okay, going back to the beginning here, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and he did that dying for our sins on the cross, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, knowing this is going to happen, all right? For he that hath suffered in the flesh, all right, hath ceased from sin. And so he's telling us here that these sufferings and trials you go through, all right, they're going to draw you closer to the Lord. They're going to make you more aware. You're going to look at your life and think, God, what is going on right now? This blindsider has hit me. Is there something in my life right now that I need to get more in line with your word? Is there something going on here that, you know, I need to get in line with the word of God? Because I see this thing and it's come to me. Well, it's, again, in the last part of their verse, it says there, for he that has suffered in the flesh, all right, hath ceased from sin. And it's simply saying what it means here. All right, when the body suffers, I think, and this is true, sin loses its power. And I've seen that so often in ministry I have, where I get around people, and you know, where I spend most of my time is in the hospital. I'm out with people, and I'm out with people that I guess there's hardly a week go by where I'm not with somebody that's going through a fiery trial. A person that's been hit with some news that just, they don't know what to do with it. I got a person I just met with this past end of last week here who found out they had cancer. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a fiery trial. The word cancer is probably one of the most earth-shattering, disturbing words in the English language. It turns our life upside down. I know when they told me that I had some cancer here in my chest here, all I heard was the word cancer. That was it. Now I saw this mouth moving, and that was about all I saw going on. Because I tell you what, I was stuck. I was stuck on that word. Why? Because I'm human. And immediately I began to deal with what I consider a fiery trial. And then I thought about this thing, and I thought, well, this is a strange thing. Well, no, it's not strange, because boy, cancer's everywhere in this world we live in today. But it is a trial, okay? And God is doing this, Rick, to try you. I'm testing you. This has come for a purpose, Rick. All right. And then I thought right then, this person that told me I have this is a person I have told them that I'm a Christian. And God said, now remember, you're to be a witness for me. All right. It's nothing strange here. You've been around plenty of people who've had that word told to them. You've been with them then. Now, Rick, I want you to stand up for me. You know this is a trial. It's to try you, all right? It's kind of a, well, it's not strange, but it's happened to you. It's happening to you right now. And so, Rick, I want you to rely on me. Cry out to me. And what I did at that very moment there was say, God, help me. I need help. I do. I want to be a witness, but right now I'm struggling with this thing. So I cried out to God, and he told me, he said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. That's good enough, right? And sure enough, he got me through it. But you know what? That had a purifying effect on me, all right? It drew me. If I could have done it, I'd have grabbed the Lord right there on the spot. Father, help me. He wasn't there, but he had his Holy Spirit living inside of me, and he helped me to deal with that situation. And as I got closer to him, boy, I tell you what, then he began to work on me, because I know what he's doing. He's trying to conform me into the image of his son. Amen. And I know that. And so I began to focus on that, and God was able to help me through that time. All right, so we see, first of all, these trials. And we see it in the first part of this chapter. Suffering purifies the saint. Then we go to the next point here. Suffering unifies the church. And we're looking here at verses 7 through 11. And we'll go ahead and look at verse 8 where it says, all right, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And so he tells us here that these sufferings we go through unifies the church. It draws us closer together. It does. Right, and it should. I don't know if it doesn't for you, brother. You need to check this thing out. But I tell you what, you say, what is the thing, Rick, that draws you into me? It's you all. I love you. I really do. And I love you because God loves you. I said, God, you sure you love this guy? God said, yes, I do, Rick. Okay. That's all I need to hear. All right. But again, suffering does unify us. It draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I always look at the church as a wagon wheel. You know what a wagon wheel looks like? It's round, okay, obviously. All right. And then you have the hub in the middle. Then you have all these spokes that go down to the hub. Well, you and I are the spokes. And when we get closer to God in a trial, in a fiery trial that's trying us, as we draw closer to God, what do? We draw closer to each other. We draw together as a church. I think about, you know, the fact that you all praying for me and some of the things I've gone through. I think about, you know, what's going on with Josh right now. And you all are compassionate. You're coming to me, telling me, asking me questions about Josh, knowing what's going on. We're all drawing together around the person of Rashad. He's drawn his trauma. His drama right now is another thing that God said, I'm going to use to draw you closer together. All right. The fact that we're short on staff right now, God said, you know, I got it under control. It's a trial. All right. I'm trying you all. Right. You all. I'm waiting to see how you're going to handle this. Are you going to come to me? Are you going to be praying to me? Are you going to be looking to me? Or are you going to be out there criticizing and, you know, whatever the flesh does, which is all kinds of naughty stuff for sure, right? No doubt about that. But what are you going to do with it? How are you going to handle this thing? Is it going to draw you closer to the Lord? Or is it going to draw you farther away from the Lord? It's going to get you to the point where, you know what, you pull yourself away from the Lord and you get out on the outer part of that rim. And we don't even see you anymore. You're gone. I'll tell you what. God said there's a purpose in all that goes on in our life. There is a purpose in your suffering. And God said one of the things, whether you like it or not, is to draw you closer to each other and to unify the church of the open door. We're not uniting around the any one of us preachers, okay? We're just men. But because of the trials going on here, we're uniting around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's the one that'll get us through this. He's the one that's going to get Pastor Shutt through this. He's the one that's going to get Pastor Josh through this. Nobody else, all right? So God, I had one person tell me, one of the blessings that he has seen in his life through the stuff that's been going on around here, and kind of blaming it on me and all my, how you feel today, Rick? I mean, it's like, I'm like the weather, you know, up and down and all that. But, you know, he said, one of the things that's happened in my life through our church's trying times, right? I spend so much more time in prayer. I have to. There's too many names. There's too much I got to talk to God about when I hit on Pastor Josh. And so it's causing me to spend more time with the Lord. How about that? Huh? How about that? You think it might be part of the reason why God says he sends these fiery trials to our life? Because he knows. And I'm not talking about the nominal. I'm talking about Christians that love the Lord. I'm talking about Christians, and I consider you all in that category. We love the Lord, okay? We're serving the Lord. We know what it's like. You know, we've been down the road. We're not novice Christians. We've been there, and we know what it's like to be going on for Jesus and serving him and singing all the wonderful hymns, and then, bang, something hit us. A blindsider. A trial. We've been there, all right? And so because I've been there, I can feel the pain of my brother. When we hear, one person told me, I love it, you know, the fact we have our prayer bulletin. Because it's a way for me to stay in touch with our people, the ones that probably of all our people need the most consideration, I guess you'd say, the most prayer in that. And so it helps me to know that. It helps me also to give me an outlet to where I can share in their suffering, okay, and be able to communicate with them. And of course, we got people in our church, and I'm sure a lot of you, because you all have been somewhere where you've had some trial, and I would think and hope that all of you have been experiencing the fact that our people love to send cards out, all right, to care, minister, cards minister, all right? We can't all be there, but, you know, and a little note on that card. I think I've told you this before. One of the things that I'll see, and I go, I'm not just going to hospitals, but I go to a lot of homes and stuff like that. And I'll get in there. Not long ago, I was in a home, and I said, they put me in the chair of honor. I had to sit in the recliner. And that recliner went all the way back. I'm like, yeah, maybe you better fix this thing. But nonetheless, they put me in the recliner there. And I looked over there, and on the mantle, I mean, not on the mantle, but on the hearth of the fireplace were all these cards. All these cards. And you know what the person said? That just goes to shows me how much God loves me. Because God, she knew God was the one that prompted those hearts to send those cards. She said, I know God. I wish God could come down here and tell me how much he loves me. I read the book, the Bible, and he tells me in there all the time. But you know what? I know God has to use people like you and me to do his job like that. And I know that's the motivation by the cards and letters and phone calls I've gotten in this. Suffering does unify the church. I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, people who, when you're going through a trial, that we reach out. You know, we reach out to them. And shut-ins in our church, you know, they're kind of like, they feel in some ways they're forgotten. And we can't be there every day. Pastor Campbell tried as hard as he could, but he still couldn't do that. And his team of workers that go out every Monday. But, you know, we do the best we can. But again, by us reaching out with these letters and stuff like that, it's bringing them back in. All right? We're unifying. You're part of our family. We care about you. And we love you very much. And I had one person tell me just recently, I guess with all the stuff going on, I know you preachers can't do everything, so you know what I've decided? I'm going to start being more faithful and sending the cards out. Because I know you'd go there if you could, and certainly I would. But I know you can't be two places at one time, all right? And so I'm now reaching out in a way that I hadn't done before because of the things that I see going on. Because I see, we're short a pastor or two, aren't we? Aren't we? Yes, we are. And the number one job, as you look at the Bible, that Jesus carried out, he was always going and visiting the what? The sick. That's what he did. He visited the sick. People going through hard times and going through trials. Well, you know, we're short-handed right now. And we could sure use some help. Now, I'm not asking you in a way to go out there yourself physically, because a lot of us can't do that. But don't forget the importance of a card. And I'll add this too, with a little bit of note in there. Just say, I love you. You want to melt some hearts? I tell you, it works. Because I see it all the time. I see it all the time. So again, we see here in this chapter, okay, suffering purifies the saint. All right, for sure. And then once that saint's purified, got his heart right with God and is focused on the love of God, okay, next thing you find that saint is beginning to unify. It's reaching out. It's becoming, I want to get back in the fellowship of church, the open door. I sense the love of God there. Had a person during Larry Haynes' funeral who came to me and told me how much that person misses church, the open door. And I said, well, you know, what do you miss? Well, first of all, I miss all my friends that he had. But then I miss the love and concern. Because apparently what we did with this situation, and this happens a lot, where we have that person, we get a phone call from some family member that is connected to us somehow. And we'll know about something's going on there, and yet they don't know we know. All right, and they come in here and we'll walk up to people, as this happened with this person, walked up and say, how are you doing? We hear you. How do you know that? Well, we've been praying for it. You have? Wow, I don't even go to church here. I can't tell you the number of times I hear that. Of course, I'm always trying to say, well, you ought to be going to church here, and that's the bottom line. All right, just getting... As you all know, I have three categories of visits that I make. I've got people that are in the church. They're part of our church family. They're number one on the list, okay? Then I've got the family members of people who come to church here. They're what? They're number two. And then your friends, they're number three. Now, I do everything in my power, as well as the rest of the pastors here, to make that work for all of them. But when times are busy, we have to work on that. You are the most important part of what goes on around here. You're number one on the list, okay? And you need to know that. We're not neglecting, but we're only doing what we can do, all right? Like I said, we can't be two places at one time, even though everybody would like us to be that way. It just doesn't happen. And so we see here suffering unifies the church, all right? I wrote down here, this is what I told the folks, continue to show deep love for each other. Deep love. I think that's what it's saying there. Okay. Charity. A deep, compassionate love. A love. I care about you. Even though maybe there's some things we got out of line here, I care about you. And I want you to know that. I want to be a part of your life. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know how your day is going. All right. And I'm going to take time to do that. That is what the love chapter tells is all about. The love chapter for me was, I read that and I thought, how in the world am I ever going to love people the way the love chapter describes it? How can I do this? And God said, very easy, Rick. You need to yield to my spirit. You need to allow me to work through you. Because what I'm asking you to do is truly supernatural. A human can't do that. To love the unlovely, to forgive those who despitefully use you, that kind of stuff. But God said, you know what, Rick? You'll be able to do that, but you got to yield to me. You got to yield to the Spirit of God. You got to yield to the Word of God. God said, I'll empower you, and I will enable you to do exactly that. All right. So the third point we have here is Number three here, suffering glorifies the Lord. We're looking at verse 12 through 19. This includes our key verse here, which I have read to you. It says there once again, beloved, think it not strange or surprising concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And of course, we're talking about mainly the strange trials began to occur in my life when I began to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, when I began to make my Lord known to the people I worked with. I was witnessing on the job. And then I was beginning to experience, suddenly, they didn't treat me the same way they did before. There was a difference there. But God said, you know what, Rick, your suffering glorifies the Lord. We see that in verse 13 where it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory, or that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. One of the things I noticed when I was first started witnessing for the Lord, I was witnessing on the job, and first thing I did when I went out and bought a little gold cross, put on my hat, and I thought that'll show everybody I love Jesus. You know, well, it sort of did, but then a lot of them, they didn't notice it. So then the next thing I did was I began to read my Bible on the job and do a lot of things along that way, and then just show concern. When somebody came into work with a problem, I listened to them, all right? Because God said, that's what love all about, right? That's what a Christian should be all about. And so as a result of that, I began to, you know, I told them I would pray for them. A lot of them were looking at me like, and who in the world are you to pray for me? I mean, how do you got a connection with God that nobody else has? And they didn't understand it, and I began to realize that. But as a result of that, they began to treat me in not such a kind way. I remember one time I was walking, and I was a foreman on a job. I walked out of the door of a house, and suddenly somebody threw water on me. Can you believe that? I couldn't believe it. All right. I remember one day I was talking to a guy about the Lord, and some bricklayers were over there working on something, and I was sharing the gospel with this young boy. Okay, well, they started throwing balls of mortar at me. Okay. So I'm thinking, you know, this is crazy. But, you know, God said, you know what? You're glorifying me. I'll take care of you. And God kind of got to the point where he realized, you know, this is really wearing my boy down, these fiery trials on the job here. And so I'm looking out the window and I'm saying, God, what do you want me to do? They don't care. I'm casting pearls before the swine. Why? I mean, while I'm talking to God and complaining to him big time, okay, and I was. I'm standing at the window, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this bird flies right into the window. A little sparrow. Hits the window, falls into the bush, quivers, and dies. And God said, you know what, Rick? I just sent that bird. You know, I'm always there when these creatures die. I am there with the sparrow. That's how big a God I really am. And I'm telling you right now, Rick, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm going to help you. I'll never forget that as long as I live. That's a bird didn't die in vain. I'll tell you that right now. God had it was a divine appointment. I'll remember that for all the rest of my life. And I needed that. I needed that because it wasn't going very well. But that the Lord gave me that, and he encouraged me. Again, this thing of suffering glorifies the Lord. He said, Rick, you're glorifying me. Yes, you don't think it, you don't know it, but you are. And then the day came where I came on the job, sitting in my pickup truck, and I don't know what I was doing. I was maybe probably reading my little orange Gideon New Testament that I was given by Larry Haynes, sitting there reading that thing, and all of a sudden I look up and hear these bricklayers. They're the ones I had the most trouble with. All right, there's four of them coming over to the truck. And I thought, good grief, here they are. We're going to start early today. I can't even get out of my truck. You know? So they're coming over. They came over to the, you know, the vehicle. I ignored them. Then I hear this. And I look over and, what? you know, real welcoming. And he said, go like this. I said, okay. I wound it in. He said, Rick, we want to tell you something. I said, well, what is that? He said, and this guy, the guy that was telling me, the person he was going to tell me about was his brother. He said, I'll just say Bill was out with a bunch of guys drinking last night. And he got so drunk, that while they were going down the road, he decided to open the door and get out of the car. I said, wow. I said, that's awful. They said, we know you would probably react that way. I said, well, I am going to react that way. That's awful to hear that. Yeah, it was awful. He's in the hospital right now. And we wonder, is there something you could do about it? Well, I said, first of all, we're going to pray about it. One guy said, you pray about stuff like that? That's what Christians do. I'm going to talk to the God that made that man's body, that knows exactly what needs to happen for him to be back, to be, I guess, repaired again or whatever. So in the car, we prayed about it. And I told this one, his name was Russell. I said, why did you come to me? He said, we've noticed that you really seem to really care about us. And this Russell said to him, everybody else has a good reason not to care about us. They were bad boys. They were into drugs. They were into PCP. You name it, they had that going on. Yet they were able to function on the job. But he told me, you know what? You know about this. You care. And we want you to know that, okay? Because we know you would know what to do. Well, of course I did. And I witnessed all of them. They all used to laugh at me when I did that. But I'll tell you, that was a turning point for them. They started listening. And I was able to lead, you know, a number of them on the job to the Lord from that point on. But, you know, like it says here, this verse, you know, how do we handle trials? All right. Well, last point there, it says suffering. As you allow the Lord to use you and you suffer, it glorifies the Lord. And it says in that verse, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. And I didn't suffer anywhere near what Christ did. But things weren't going real good on the job there. I was having a tough time with it, okay? All right, and it says here, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad. It says they're also with exceeding joy. So I wrote here also, suffering, sorrow and suffering are what develops you, us, and I used to tell the students this, develops you and also develops the church. Church of Open Doors, known as a church with a heart. And it does have a big heart. And you know who that heart is? It's you all. You're what makes Open Door, you know? And we don't do everything perfect, do we? There are things we mess up on, and there are things that could be done a lot better. But God said, I know all that. You're all made out of the same cookie dough. I know what I formed you. I know what I got going on here. But you know what? You do honor me. You care about people. You care enough about people that you're willing to share the gospel, even though you will suffer persecution. And even though because you do that, you will experience fiery trials in your daily life. Ray just had a trial with him. He had somebody call him up about our people visiting in a certain place where they don't want anybody to go. And that happens a lot. But you know what? That's all part of it. We'll calm down for a while, but next thing you know, we'll be back over there again. That's just how it works. And you know, it's like they have to do it just to tell us. And then later on when we go there, they kind of look the other way. It's not that big a deal. I guess it's not that big a deal. But at any rate, the suffering does glorify the Lord, okay? And I want to just tell you how much I appreciate you all and the ministries you have at the church here. There's so many things that are going on right now. And we've not missed a lick. Even though we're short and got all these different things going on right now, the Lord has allowed us to keep things going the way they should. And that's because of your willingness to pray for us pastors that we'd have the strength we don't normally have to do what we're doing, but then also that you're part of the body. And I look out here and I see a bunch of you guys that somebody told on you. All right, I visited, but you know what they told me about you was a good thing. And they don't mind doing that. And I don't mind hearing about the good things. But you know what? It's just a blessing to be here and be a part of this. But maybe we're here today and you're saying, Pastor Rick, I've gone through some trials here. And I'm like you. I'm standing at that window. And I'm wondering, Lord, it's just getting to be too much. This trial is fiery. It's burning. It's hurting me. And I just don't know what to do. All right? Well, God, maybe the sparrow you're going to get from God today is the fact of me telling you that story. And you know what, brother? Just keep on doing what you know you need to do. Keep on doing what you need to do. Because God said, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to count me and trust me to do what only God can do. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. We're going to go ahead and close. I'm going to pray here. But I'm also going to give you a chance to make a better decision than that. And that's to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. We all, amen. We ought to say amen to that. Amen. Amen. It is. I remember when I found that out. Oh, boy. I'm so glad I got the rest of that message. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, that's the truth. There's no doubt about it. But there is a wage for sinfulness and living outside of God's plan for our lives as far as an unsaved person. Mostly what I've been talking here today are people who love the Lord, who care for the Lord. Like the students that I spoke to who are willing to surrender their life and go. And I mean surrender and go to the foreign field. No matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. But nonetheless, what I'm saying right now is for those of us in here at this point in time who are here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Most people that come to church here, one thing they do know is that the fact that they're sinners. You can't leave here without knowing that. Okay? There's no doubt about that. But then the part they kind of get messed up on is that, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. The gift of God, the free gift of God, all right, is salvation. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, we know that Jesus on the cross died and paid for our sins. I heard a man preach one time, and he said, yeah, and he said Christ was on that cross, and God finally found the most perfect target for his wrath. And then he went on to describe the wrath of God, the awfulness of it all. How it's just, I mean, it's beyond our comprehension. God's wrath, I mean, it's God. And he poured that wrath on his son because he had my sins on him. That's what he did. And God said, you know what? It's like, you know, some of the people I talk to when it comes to this thing of forgiving people. And I learned a lesson a long time ago. It kind of relates to the gospel here. But a guy told me this. He said, Brother Rick, and I was struggling with forgiveness. He said, you're never more like God than when you learn to forgive. It broke my heart. It did. I thought to myself, I got a lot to learn. And Lord, I'm going to need your help because there's some people I don't want to forgive. There are. But dear friend, nonetheless, God said, I want to forgive you. Will you let me forgive you? All right. Will you let me save you from your sins and one day take you to heaven when you die? Well, dear friend, it's up to you. All right. It's up to you. We're going to go ahead and let's go ahead and close in prayer, first of all. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, so much for your love. We thank you that we can come to you. We pray that, Lord, that you might use what was shared today to help us. I know it was a big help to me, Lord, as I went through this these past couple days here, Father, and what a blessing it was for me. But Lord, please, we pray you bless it. But then also, if there's somebody here today that's never trusted your son, Jesus, as their Savior, help them, Father, help them to yield to you and allow you to forgive their sins. It's a choice most everybody in this room has made, and it was the best choice I ever made. So we just pray for that today. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen.